Sibelius and Elgar's First Symphony, and there's Rachmaninoff from the BBC Philharmonic, including his one-act opera, Alieko. Join Penny Gore for that, afternoon on 3 tomorrow from 2 o'clock. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 11 o'clock now, and to round off this day of music making, here's Claire Martin with a recorded edition of Jazz Lineup.
Well, good evening from the Radio Theatre within the walls of Broadcasting House in London. As the BBC's big concert draws to a close, Jazz Lineup this week forms the finale to the day and salutes the tradition of the BBC Big Band, whose music has been such an integral part of radio broadcasting. During the interval of this concert, Kevin Legendre will chair a roundtable discussion charting the history of the band and its most memorable moments. Tonight we're going to hear music by composers and arrangers who have contributed to the vast library that the band has accumulated over the years, and I can guarantee that a number of the fine arrangements to hand are from tonight's conductor, Mr. Barry Forgy. And later we'll hear from our guest vocalist, the individual and world-class singer Leanne Carroll. But to begin, this is something commissioned for the band's first album to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the BBC back in 1972. The album was called The Best of British, and this is an arrangement by Steve Gray with a solo by Martin Shaw, and it's The King's Horses. Steve Gray with the solo there by the great Martin Shaw. Well, over the years, all sorts of international arrangers have arranged for the big band, and we'll play some of their music now. First of all, Say It Isn't So, given to the band by Billy May on one of the many occasions he worked with them, followed by Gershwin's They All Laughed, which was commissioned from Francie Boland, who led a very successful band in Europe, and then Old Man River, arranged by Bill Holman, who has worked with the band on numerous occasions. You'll hear solos from On Say It Isn't So, the soloist Martin Williams on the tenor sax. On They All Laughed, the soloists are Andy Wood on trombone, Andy Panay on tenor, and Sammy Main on alto sax. And on Old Man River, Andy Panay again on the tenor, Jeremy Brown on the bass, and Martin Shaw on the trumpet.
One, two, three, four.
Potatoes and So, then they all laughed, and then Old Man River. I'd like to take this chance now to introduce you to the band. On the trumpets, Derek Watkins, Mike Lovett, Brian Rankin, and Martin Shaw. On the trombones, Gordon Campbell, Andy Wood, Ashley Horton, and John Higginbotham. And on the saxes, Howard McGill, Sammy Main, Andy Panay, Martin Williams, and Jay Craig. On the piano, Andy Vinter. On the guitar, Phil Robson. Down in the basement, Jeremy Brown. The fabulous Tom Gordon on drums. On vibes and percussion, Anthony Kerr. And there they are, the Thinking Woman's Chippendales. Well, the next tune was arranged by Bill Russo, who, like Bill Holman, was an arranger for the great Stan Kenton Band in the 1950s. Bill Russo made his last BBC broadcast in this theatre with his band in 2002. He voiced them as two bands, an A band and a B band, which sparked off each other and created a different sound. This is one of his compositions, perhaps inspired by Dickens, called Pickwick, and it features Martin Williams on tenor and Andy Wood on valve trombone. Thank you. That was Pickwick, arranged by Bill Russo. And a special clap for Andy Wood there on the valve trombone. What a beautiful sound. We're now for our featured vocalist, and we have the very best in the business. She's unique, original, hugely talented, and one of the singers that's constantly inspired me and all the musicians that she works with. Will you please give a very warm welcome for the world-class Leanne Carroll.
Mr. Alan Vinter is going to just nip down to the dressing room to tend to his collection of mini bonsai, and I'm going to go and keep his seat warm. Just a sec. So tonight, Matthew, I'm going to try and be sort of Mrs. Mills or something. This is a beautiful arrangement by Barry, of The Very Thought of You. The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in kind of daydream, and I'm happy as a king. I'm foolish though it may seem to me. Idea of you, the longing here for you, till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, and your eyes and stars above. It's just the thought of you, very thought of you, my just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my
Leanne Carroll, and you'll hear lots more from her in the second half. Who have listened to Big Band Special since 1979 would have recognised that as the first signature tune of the programme by the Radio Big Band, as it was known at that time. It was composed and arranged by Patrick Williams, who conducted and arranged all the duet albums for Frank Sinatra. But back in 1979, on the very first session for Big Band Special, this next number opened the morning, arranged by Ralph Dollymore, who was the pianist and arranger for the great Ted Heath.
Thank you.
from South Pacific with a solo from Martin Williams on tenor. Fantastic. But back in 1973, the young and nubile Barry Forgy arranged this piece of music, his very first for the BBC Big Band. Let's hear it, and it's called The Mancini Generation. Mancini Generation, and of course that featured Phil Robson on guitar, making those and on the trumpet, the newest member of the band, Mike Lovett. Okay, well, the next tune was composed by legendary musician Sonny Rollins and arranged by Dick Walter, who in the early days of the big band did a lot of marvellous charts. Well, here's one of them. It's St. Thomas.
Thank you.
Sonny Rollins, who wrote that piece with solos from Andy Panay on sax. And let's hear it for the drummer, the fabulous Tom Gordon. And that was arranged by Dick Walter. Well, this is the last piece to end our first half, and it's a homage to Thad Jones. Composed and arranged by our very own Barry Forgy, it was commissioned by this programme for the 2006 European Jazz Orchestra. Solos will be played by Andy Vinter on piano, Jay Craig on baritone sax, and Anthony Kerr on vibes. This is Thaddeus Rex. Tyrannosaurus Rex with the BBC Big Band, conducted and composed by Barry Forgy. Yeah. And this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. Well, it's interval time at the Radio Theatre here in Broadcasting House. And for the next few minutes, Kevin LeGenre hosts a roundtable discussion about the BBC Big Band, past and present. Kevin.
Thank you, Claire Martin, and we will return to the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House, London, to hear more from the BBC Big Band. Around the table with me are three people who have professionally spent a considerable amount of time with the band. I have tonight's conductor and arranger, Barry Forgy, who's been with the band since 1975, broadcaster Sheila Tracy, who presented the Radio 2 programme Big Band Special for many years, and Robin Sedgley, who originally was the broadcast sound mixer for the band and subsequently moved into the producer's chair. Welcome all.
Hello, hi. Nice to be here.
The BBC Big Band seems to have a lot of really good things going for it at the moment. In the last couple of years, it's toured Mexico with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra playing the music of the Beatles. It went to Poland in 2009. In Britain, it's been working with Black Voices in Birmingham. And also, it's worked with the great South African jazz star Abdullah Ibrahim. And it's won too many awards to mention. So to me, it feels like a very, very exciting time for the Big Band. Sheila, does it feel like a good time for it at the moment?
Oh, indeed. But I have to remember that it actually took us 7 to 8 years to get out of Maida Vale studio and do a live concert, or not a live concert, but a recorded concert outside the studio. And the very first time was across the road in the tennis club just opposite Maida Vale studios. So it's come a long way since then.
Very, very glamorous indeed, from Maida Vale to Mexico. I like it. Barry, you've been conducting for many years. You've been on the front line, as it were. How does it feel for you this time at the moment?
Well, it's a very good time, but it's been a very good time for a very long time. I mean, the band is doing more outside broadcasts, of course, now than it ever did, because it has its residency in Birmingham in the Town Hall. Even in the earlier days of Big Band Special, we had some great international artists come in, at first in the studios, but later in venues all over the country. So what has happened to the band in recent years is that we've extended our repertoire. For example, when we went to Mexico, it was a large orchestra with the band to do the Beatles material. And there's been specialist material with specialist arrangers and composers who've come in and brought their music with them.
Robin, what's your impression of where the BBC Big Band is at the moment?
I'm inclined to agree with Barry. I mean, once the great step was made, probably back in the early 70s, from playing popular music covers and sounding as if they should all, the band should be at Tay Dansant and rather wan pop covers. At that time, there was an injection of some young talent into the band, which gave it an edge. And since then, it's developed down the years. It's got away from just playing tunes and endless tunes and different ways of playing the same tune and so on, and it developed into what is the conventional idea of a big band.
But Barry, I want to turn back to you for the moment. I mean, mm-hmm. You're the conductor and the arranger. What's it like literally to be standing in front of all these musicians? How demanding is it?
Well, it's demanding for them, but
so you're the person who's making
I'm
life
the one
difficult
that's
for
making
them.
It, well, not
they're not
just
making
me.
Life difficult for you.
No. The band have always been, certainly from a personal point of view, lovely to work with, but their talents, they're prodigious talents, because when you play yourself, which I still do and have done for years, but when you play yourself, it's a very good reminder about how difficult what you're asking that band to do. You know, it's extremely difficult what they have to do in the time constraints, and that hasn't changed. In fact, it's got more demanding, because the music over the years has got more demanding, because we're playing things that were written yesterday, just as we did in the 90s with Bob Florence. They're now playing stuff that people are bringing over that they've never seen before. There's an awful lot of sight reading, which still goes on of the highest standard.
Americans have always been amazed by the qualities of this band. I mean, there's a certain history in American producers coming over to Britain because it was cheaper. Mm-hmm. Not because the studio costs in themselves were cheaper or the musicians came cheap, but they used less studio time because the average British session musician didn't need so much time to get things sorted out because their sight reading, their feel, their nous and everything was so good that they'd spend half the time doing, I don't know, a film score or something like that in Great Britain than they would in California. And, you know, we come from that ethos with the BBC Big Band. I mean, most guys that joined up with it, the new injection of talent we were talking about, it all served their time in the session world.
You must have known some of these musicians.
Robin was the very beginning of Big Band Special, started to invite American stars over here. Mm-hmm. So we had the singer Mark Murphy, we had Ron McConnell, who died just recently from the Boss Brass, and we had various people coming to guest with the band, Bill Watrous, Bobby Shue, and they were always amazed.
Bill Watrous, the trombonist who was in Mingus's band, I believe, is that right?
Yeah.
He came over and appeared with the band on several occasions, and they were all absolutely amazed at the speed with which, you know, in one session we put together one programme.
Generally speaking, how much rehearsal time is there?
There's more rehearsal time now than there was then, but there is a subtlety in that. The time we're talking of, the band was on staff, and because the band was on staff, it was doing seven sessions a week, so it was working for several programmes. And what you could do, what I could do and what Robin could do, was that if you were working on more than one programme, you could try things out on the dog, so to speak, without being too unkind about other programmes, so that if you got something you wanted to do on Big Band Special, which was quite demanding, you would be able to air it on two or three programmes at the same time.
So you use other programmes to get your chops together.
Yeah. When we did a Big Band Special, it was 3 hours rehearsal. If it was in the studio, a Big Band Special was done in the 3 hours.
Right.
Now we use 2 days to do it, but it's because everything is new. There's not so much of a repertoire that is played in, and of course the band is no longer on staff, mm-hmm. and because of that, the personnel will subtly change from session to session.
Sure.
So you may have people who haven't seen any of it before.
Yeah. Are you slightly nostalgic about not having the staff situation and with the situation these days being more fluid? Because a lot of people in the jazz world would say that that's actually one of the problems with the music, the fact that it's harder to keep bands together and that things are changing so much. So that kind of cohesion and the camaraderie that you had in days of old isn't as prevalent today as it was back then.
It wasn't just a case of camaraderie and, you know, buddies meeting up day after day. I mean, quite honestly, there were a lot of internal hatreds as well, which comes from seeing
each other.
That's
what makes the band exciting, I suppose.
Day after day.
That's what gives it the edge.
So what did happen was that it became remarkably instinctive. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew what was required of a certain arrangement. They adapted to so many styles so readily, you know, whether it was Cotton Club Ellington, it was played with authenticity and panache. Right, and through the sort of so-called golden era of big bands, Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey and so on and so forth, and it had the talented players that were able to reproduce that music right up into current-day rock and roll scores and all that.
Did you get a sense of that, Sheila?
Yes. I mean, we went live in 1990, you know, for the first time, live Big Band Special.
It must have been very exciting for you, Sheila, to present the first live broadcast of the BBC Big Band.
Oh, yes, it was. It was very thrilling.
Do you remember that night at all? Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yes, the first live one was at the Maltings in Aldborough. But I remember another occasion, and I'm not sure whether Robin will remember this. It might have been after he left, but it was at Middlesbrough, and we had Martin Taylor. Barry must remember this, as the guest guitarist.
Martin Taylor, yeah,
He took two choruses instead of one, and it was a live broadcast. The speech came through the van, saying, "Tell Barry to cut the penultimate number." Now we're live, you know, so I go on.
So no pressure.
You know, no pressure. I go on and say, putting my hand across my throat, you know. And so we cut the number, me thinking very quickly, I've got to talk for at least a minute longer because we've cut a number. But luckily, Martin Taylor had been talking about his son playing the drums, so I had something to talk about.
I thought maybe at that point a trap door was going to open and Martin Taylor would disappear, but no.
Yeah.
I don't think he realised, Barry, did he?
No, did
I do too long?
An extra chorus? Yeah, hey, what's that between friends?
This is the thing about live performances, live on air, is that there's the pleasure, if one of the pleasures for the producer, of course, is bringing it bang out on time.
Robin, what are your fondest memories of being in the studio, things working or maybe not working?
Well, musicians are always fun to work with anyway, because they're the source of, I mean, their humour is, because of the unsocial hours they keep and all the rest of it, they've got a very black, dark outlook on life, and it's reflected in their humour. But in terms of a bit of nonsense, during the American tour, that's the American tour, folks, I think the third concert we had to do in Miami, and as we got more and more into live concerts outside broadcasts, not every theatre or venue you went to had curtains, tabs. So it was hard to get the guys on and off, so it didn't look shambolic and people walking in and bumping into each other and dropping things. So I devised a means of getting them on just using lights. The stage would be in darkness to start with. We'd send just the rhythm section on. They would be lit with a spot, and they would just go round and round and round a 12-bar blues sequence, you know, while the other guys, the rest of the stage was in darkness, the other guys just filed on, pretty well not visible. At a certain point, the band would be ready, they would be ready to play, and at the point they came roaring in on this huge, loud ensemble, all the house lights, or the stage lights on them would go up. And if you could hit it absolutely right, it was quite a good effect.
Sounds, you know, very theatrical.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, in Miami, we couldn't find the lighting guy anyway. He went disappearing for a pizza or whatever they disappear for, or a cold Budweiser or something. And he only appeared just when we were all ready to start. So he appeared in the back of the box and said, "Now, wow, what have we got here, guys?" The rhythm section is already starting to play. So I managed to get him to put a spotlight on them. And then I started to explain what I just explained to you. You know, the rest of the band come on, they're in darkness. Mm. Barry will stand by the side of the stage. One, two, three, four. When he gets to five, where five would be, you throw all the lights. Yeah, but how am I going to know when I do that? I said, well, I just explained. And by this time, the band is ready. Barry's standing in the wings, ready to count. He said, yeah, I'm not sure. I said, look, I'll just cue you. I'll shout at you. I said, I'll say go or now. I mean, what would you like me to say? This guy's going, go or now? Now or go. And Barry's practically there. No or now or go. He said, Robin, I like go. Let's go with go. By this time, Barry had said four, so I shouted at him, go! And this guy said, what, now?
Sheila, when you weren't playing the trombone, moonlighting with the trombone, obviously you were presenting BBC Big Band Special, you must have seen some great things as well.
I had a reputation for saying, quite unintentionally, double entendres on stage. It was in Washington, D.C. on the American tour.
Only a small reputation.
Graham Arthur on guitar, and the big American football match was that day. What's it called?
Yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's right. And whoever had won, I said, so-and-so won. I said, back home, I say, we say, up the Arsenal. The whole band collapsed, and, you know,
beautifully expressed.
Graham,
I say that as a Spurs fan as well.
He couldn't play for laughing. I said, what have I said, you know?
Marion Montgomery was late one day because she damaged her leg. She couldn't walk very well. I think it was her back, actually. So she couldn't get into the studio. She was very slow coming into the studio. So the porter, who was always good at finding ways around things, decided he would wheel her in on a trolley. So an instrument trolley, you'd reel all the instruments. So it was coming to her time to sing, and the light went off, red light went off, we'd recorded something, and he appeared at the back of the studio with Marion hanging onto this trolley and wheeled her into the studio. She'd only gone about 10 feet when the band started going, do 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 do, and they went all the way through it, all the way through it.
So Marion Montgomery on a plate.
Yeah, that's right.
So thanks very much to Barry Forgy, Robin Sedgley and Sheila Tracy. The BBC Big Band is still on the air on both Radio 2 and 3, and producer Bog McDowell for Radio 2 and Keith Loxham for Radio 3 still look for exciting ideas, soloists, composers and arrangers to broadcast. This programme in November will team up with the guitarist Billy Jenkins and the band at the London Jazz Festival. But back to today, and I hand you over to Claire Martin in the Radio Theatre of Broadcasting House for the continuation of the BBC's Big Concert.
Thank you, Kevin Lejeune. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 as part of the BBC's Big Concert Day from the Radio Theatre within Broadcasting House London. We're featuring the BBC Big Band conducted by Barry Forgy with our special guest vocalist Leanne Carroll. Well, you heard the current signature tune for Radio 2's Big Band Special there first, and that was followed by Bandolettes, composed and arranged by Bob Florence in the 1990s, who was an LA-based arranger, especially commissioned to write a series of arrangements for the band. The soloist there was Howard McGill on alto sax. But back in the early 1970s, Ellen Ainsworth conducted the band and introduced the music of Yumiya Diradato to the repertoire. Featuring Andy Pranaya this time on the flute, this is Midnight at the Oasis. At the Oasis with Andy Panay on flute. Well, the homegrown arrangers continue to write great scores for the band. Here is one penned by Alan Downey, featuring Phil Robson on guitar, in the footsteps of the great Wes Montgomery. It's West Coast Blues. That was West Coast Blues featuring the incredible talents of Phil Robson on guitar. Well, we started with an arrangement by Steve Gray, and here's another from him. It took him 3 days to write this, and as he writes on the score, anyone who has to do a swinging big band chart on a tune, the hook of which is doo-dah, has some serious thinking to do. It's the Camptown Races.
Thank you.
Stephen Foster's Camp Down Races, arranged by Steve Gray, with Andy Vint on piano. And Howard McGill on soprano. How about the trumpet section there? I mean, I thought they were going to explode. Well, now, please welcome back our sensational singer tonight. Give a warm welcome, please, to the incredible Leanne Carroll.
I got a guy who's always late anytime that we have a date, but I love him. Yeah, I love him. I'm gonna walk up to his gate and see if I can get it straight, 'cause I want him. I'm gonna is or you ain't. Bye, baby. The way you're acting lately makes me doubt you is still my baby. Seems the flame in your heart don't gone out. A man is a creature that is always strange. Just when you saw a one you find is gonna make a change. Ah, it's you is or if you ain't my baby. That is always being strange. Just when you're sure of a one you find is gone and made a change. Is it you, is or is you and my baby?
Since I was really tiny listening to them, and it's more than an honour and a privilege and a pleasure to play with this amazing band.
Once I was young, yesterday perhaps, danced with Jim and Paul and kissed some other chaps.
Once I was young and never was naive, I thought I had a trick or two of my imaginary sleep. And now I know was tonight. You know what time it was. You held my hand, warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone. Grand to see your face, feel your touch, hear your voice, say I'm on your own. I didn't know what time it was. Life was no prize. I wanted love and here it was shining out of your eyes. I'm wise and I know what time it is now. Time it was now, sublime it was too. Warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours. To see your face, feel your touch, hear your voice, say I'm all your own. I didn't know what time it was. You held my hand, warm like the month of May it was, and I say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone.
So great. Our thanks to Leanne Carroll. In 1992, the BBC Big Band did an 18-concert tour of the eastern seaboard of America with George Shearing as the guest star. In every concert, he played this next piece. And the band's pianist at the time was Andy Vinter, who's here tonight. And he plays the piece tonight rather than looking over the shoulder of George Shearing, which is what he did on the road. Let's hear The Kid from Red Bank. On the piano on that piece, The Kid from Red Bank. You've been listening to the BBC Big Band, conducted by Barry Forgy and featuring the incredible Leanne Carroll with me, Claire Martin. Our finale here at the Radio Theatre is music which is a tribute to the legendary composer, arranger and saxophonist Oliver Nelson. You're going to hear The Critic's Choice, written for Buddy Rich. I'm going to sing Stolen Moments, possibly his greatest composition from the album Blues and Abstract Truth. And the whole feast ends with Nelson's Anacrusis.
How I miss all our stolen little moments, the many times I'm not with you. There are such little stolen moments that I meant only for us two. Whenever you're gone and I know you're not there, it's so hard to remember when you disappear with your face always there, right in front of me, dear.
wounded make up for what they say. If I hold you and squeeze you, pretty darling, would you linger a while today? Whenever you're gone and I know you're not there, it's so hard to remember when you disappear. With your face always there, right in front of me, dear, you watch the thank you.
A tribute to Oliver Nelson, arranged and conducted for this concert by Barry Forgy and played by the BBC Big Band, with solos from Andy Pernai on flute, Martin Shaw on trumpet, Phil Robson on guitar, Martin Williams on tenor, Anthony Kerr on vibe, Sammy Main on alto, and Tom Gordon on drums. That ends this broadcast from the Radio Theatre Broadcasting House in London as part of the BBC's big concert on Radio 3. From the BBC Big Band, conducted by Barry Forgy, and our very special guest, Leanne Carroll, from me, Claire Martin, until next time, bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain, and without further ado to Joseph Haydn, one of three piano trios Haydn dedicated to his friend, the pianist Therese Jansen, all three of them tributes to her pianistic powers. And this one, the C major Hoboken number 27, with perhaps the most virtuosic keyboard writing in all Haydn. His piano trios as a whole have been criticised for the dominance of the piano part. One way of looking at it, I suppose. Another way, a much better way, is pianist Charles Rosen in his book The Classical Style, where Rosen says the Haydn piano trios, along with the Mozart concertos, are the most brilliant piano works before Beethoven. The players here are the Kungsbacher piano trio. Thank you.